This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run. In about 15 minutes, we've got the markets open and market insights with Joe Quinlan of US Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. But in the meantime, let's talk about what the retail trading phenomenon GameStop means for local markets.
Yeah, because Malaysian retail investors joined forces on social media and actually pushed up stocks of under-pressure rubber glove makers last Friday, taking inspirations from what it seems the recent GameStop trading phenomenon in the US. Now, the mom-and-pop investors have set up their own Reddit group, naming it Bursa Bets, after the country's stock exchange. Like the US group Wall Street Bets, Bursa Bets has become an online rallying spot for those urging people to buy and hold shares, and in this case, targeting glove stocks.
So the day after the Bursa Bets group was set up, Top Glove stock rose more than 8%, with rival companies also notching strong gains. Hotelega up over 8%, 5%, Supermax up 4%. Now, many quarters have come out to caution the trend, such as the stock market watchdog MSWG, Bursa Malaysia, and even the Securities Commission. There's warnings that there are serious risks involved with betting in the stock market based on social media discussion and emotion. So to dissect this further, we've got on the line with us Devanesan Evanson, the CEO of the Minority Shareholders Watchdog Group, on the line. Now, Devan, thanks for talking to us. There seems to be a similar movement in this country emulating the controversial success of the Wall Street Bets campaign on GameStop. What are the potential risks here that warrant you issuing a statement on this matter?
Well, on the one hand, we have the hedge funds which are actually short-selling the stocks, a regulated activity in Malaysia. And on the other hand, we have this group of shareholders like under the Bursa Bets caption, were encouraging shareholders, especially retailers, to buy the shares to counter the downward pressure caused by the hedge funds when they short sell the shares. Now, in between both these parties, there are some other minority shareholders who may actually end up on the losing end. You see, the stock market traditionally had two emotions, basically, fear and greed, operating the stock market. Now what has happened is there's a third emotion that has come in, that of David versus Goliath kind of syndrome, the underdogs taking on the big boys, the hedge funds, the short sellers. But the thing is this, within this plot, there can be many other subplots. For example, those shareholders who are encouraging others to buy the shares can actually be unloading their shares once the share prices go up. So some innocent, naive shareholders will take on this advice and really buy those shares at much higher prices. And the higher the price, the smaller your upside potential. And when the music stops, we'll find that these shareholders are left with the baby, shares with very high prices. So this is the fear that MSWG has, or rather, this is to caution minority shareholders, especially retail shareholders. Be wary. There's no place for emotions in a stock market, for investing, you have to be very disciplined about it. So that is the point.
I like your point about being this third force, right, where it used to be about money and greed and fear. Now it's about, this anger against these large institutions. How do you control this emotion? Is it going to be regulated or is it going to be more investor education?
Unfortunately, emotions cannot be regulated. But you're absolutely right in the sense that, it takes on a different kind of emotion, that of the noble thing to do, the morally right thing to do. So it is the third emotion, really, in the stock market. You cannot regulate it, but you can educate. Informed decision-making, informed investment also means that, being informed about not letting your emotions rule your trades, really, rule your investments. Rational investing should be the order of the day. So I suppose timely reminders, by regulators and all other people in the capital market ecosystem about not investing based on emotions, but on basis and premises and rational thinking.
And since you mentioned the regulators, both Bursa and SC, they issued a joint statement last Friday evening advising Malaysian investors to be cautious of the social media chat rooms that try to influence investors to buy or sell certain stocks based on speculation or rumours. Now, why do you think regulators are stepping in to warn market participants? What kind of potential breaches of law are there here?
See, what has happened with Bursa Bets is that it's a new game in town. It's something new. In fact, some have called it a disruptor to the traditional trading system. So because a new game in town, there could be potential breaches of some laws and rules. Two that come to mind is investment advice. As you know, the SE recently issued some guidelines on investment advice. Now, investment advice is a regulated activity. It means that you have to have a license before you can give investment advice. So I'm sure the regulators are now looking at going back to their drawing boards and looking at bursa bets and trying to see whether any element of investment advice is being involved in this scenario situation. So on the one hand, we have this issue about whether it's investment advice. On the other hand, we have the issue of whether it could tantamount to some kind of market manipulation. Again, because this phenomenon is new, the regulators are probably going to look at, in my opinion, whether it falls as under the category of some kind of market manipulation.
Yeah, Devanesan, one of the biggest catalysts behind the GameStop phenomenon was the fact that Robinhood and Interactive Brokers and TD Ameritrade, all these guys have basically 0% commissions, and there's a lot of the whole phenomenon of copy trading as well. Now, the days when Malaysia will see commission-free broking, I think 2 or 3 years away, if not earlier, in that space of time, how do you think how do you think the marketplace will be able to ensure that individual investors become more savvy and more prepared to deal with the whole idea that the democratization of investment is here to stay?
Democratization of investments is definitely here to stay. We find many different kinds of disruption, especially like our brokerage is now literally online from trading, opening of accounts and everything. But the important thing is all activities must be played within the rules itself. Okay, I can understand the need for greater retail participation, and this disruptor does ensure greater retail participation, but the end doesn't justify the means. It's not a greater retail participation at all costs. Okay, it must be within the parameters of a fair and orderly market and the paramount duty of regulators, which is also protection of shareholders and customers.
Yeah, so I go to YouTube, and the first pay that I see is young men with fast cars promising me how to make millions of dollars. It's going to be very hard for the regulator to clamp down on that. So the question I have really is, we want to drive retail investor participation, but how do we move financial literacy beyond just saving money and putting into the piggy bank towards greater awareness about the sophistication of the products, about the markets and understanding fundamentals? What specific actions can the regulator take to take financial literacy to the next level?
I think the key word is education, really. The regulators continue to educate, and there are so many other forums, like brokers also have, columns where they seek to educate the investors. But the reality is that some investors are aware of the risks and they're prepared to take the risks. That perhaps a particular counter is being manipulated. But as an investor, you think, yes, you can just ride the wave, swing trading or momentum trading. You think that you can get in at the price and get out before it tanks. So, yes, that is not illegal per se. So education is a continuous process. I feel that you should start at a much younger age, perhaps in our universities and senior years in school itself. And the regulators are playing their part. Other participants and intermediaries in the capital market ecosystem, they're also playing their part. We at MSWG, we try to play our part too. We play our part, actually, in trying to educate investors. And that's why we had the press release recently, just alerting investors not to be victimized, not to be taken advantage of in this new phenomenon.
Okay, thanks so much for your time. That was Devanesan Evanson, the chief executive of the Minority Shareholders Watchdog Group. And of course, the MSWG stands up for the little guy, right? The small investor. And the thing is investor education. It's about fundamental knowledge, it's about earnings, it's about long-term fundamentals, right? The thing is, people by and large, and I say this in a very general sense, they don't want to go through that process. It's difficult, it's arduous, it's time-consuming, and it's confusing. You know, this whole issue about copy trades is very, very popular. You go into Robinhood, you go into TD Ameritrade, even eToro, right? You can follow these so-called experts who have done 50% in 1 month, and it's just so easy to just like put a $300 in just to match their trade, right? It takes no homework, no learning, no education. And I don't know whether this whole much-vaunted idea of investor education is going to get traction here. There just isn't that discipline behind it.
I think it's very hard also. Because
it's very hard.
Think about what he said, right? The three powers here, greed, fear and anger, Greed actually has a unifying principle, which is we all want to make money. Let's all be guided by that principle. But anger is such a hard concept, and everyone has different levels of anger and frustration. How do you unify and get everybody on the same page? I think it's very hard. And fear as well.
I think fear is the one way that get everybody on board. And the reality is that when we look at markets, right, since 2009, it's been a straight line up all the way. There's hardly been any market correction, except during March when COVID-19 hit very, very severely. But then even markets recovered so fast, right? Up 30% from that point onwards. So for a lot of investors, they don't remember what a market crash and a long-term market crash can cause and all the pain it causes. So I think, yes, you know, if unfortunately or fortunately, you know, some people have made a lot of money from the market, kudos to them, good. But with every trade you make, it comes with its fair share of risk. And I think caveat emptor is important here.
Yeah, Newton's law of gravity. Okay, 8:59 in the morning. We'll come back after this with a news bulletin. And after that, markets, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.